Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Every day there are countless books and articles that are published offering the key on how to make your business a success. It's easy to feel overwhelmed trying to keep up and run your business. That's why Deb Creer created the Business Power Hour. Keep up on the latest trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. Let the Business Power Hour do the heavy work for you.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And we're going to have so much fun today talking with my guest because it's a topic that we don't often talk about. And so we're going to have so much fun delving into this. So please join me in welcoming Rusty Gaylord to the program today. Welcome, Rusty. How are you doing?
I am great, Deb. Very happy to be here with you today.
Perfect. I love it. Well, let me tell people a little bit about you and then we'll just jump in. So former worldwide director of finance at Apple, Rusty Gaylord followed a traditional corporate path to success from GE under Jack Welch, an MBA at Stanford, to 14 years at Apple. And I also noticed on your website, you say that you were schooled as a rocket scientist, you play in a rock band, and you are dad of the year, of course. But you know, you have all of those qualifications, but you left the corporate world in 2019 to help other executives achieve success without the sacrifice. Rusty is a sought-after speaker and author of the best-selling book, Breaking the Code, Stop Looking for Answers and Start Enjoying Life. He lives in Silicon Valley with his wife and 15-year-old son, enjoys playing bass in a rock band, and spends as much time as possible outside. So again, Rusty, welcome.
Thank you, Deb. Very kind introduction.
Well, I always love to hear a little bit about how my guests got to where they are today. And you have had quite the impressive career path. But tell us a little bit more about how it is that you got to where you are today.
Well, so you alluded to it a little bit in the introduction, which is this kind of what I would call this very traditional corporate path. Mm-hmm. So just if you rewind all the way back into my high school days, I did well in school. School, mm-hmm. for whatever reason, came reasonably easily mm-hmm. to me. And so I was an A student, mm-hmm. and it kind of set the trajectory right. for the next 20 odd years of my mm-hmm. life. I went to a great college. Mm-hmm. My first job was at General Electric mm-hmm. when Jack Welch was CEO. You know, back in those days, it was the premier company. Mm-hmm. You know, if right. you look at what's going on today, mm-hmm. it's breaking mm-hmm. up into multiple different companies. But back then, it was on top of the world. Mm-hmm. So I was always striving to be the best and mm-hmm. do the best and excel in my role and work at the best companies and so mm-hmm. on. And that's really the path that I followed. So I left mm-hmm. GE to go to business school at Stanford. That brought me to California. Mm-hmm. I ended up working at Apple. I became director of finance there for worldwide finance, mm-hmm. and I led the global sales forecast for Apple, how much of all the different products we're going to sell. Mm-hmm. I was there for 14 years. I started before the iPhone was announced, mm-hmm. and I left.
You had the what was the little guy?
The iPod.
That was it. And I have one of those. Yep. iPod.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so when I started, the iPod was the hit product. Mm-hmm. And obviously then that transitioned to the phone and right. then the iPad came mm-hmm. out and the Apple Watch. And mm-hmm. I was there through all of that. It was mm-hmm. a fascinating and wonderful time to be there. Mm-hmm. I loved working at Apple. And towards the end of that, two things happened. Towards the end of my tenure there. Number mm-hmm. one is I realized I no longer wanted to climb the corporate ladder at Apple. Mm-hmm. And there was a couple of reasons for that. I mean, mm-hmm. one was, in my mind, climbing the corporate ladder was just more sacrifice, mm-hmm. right? I mean, we alluded
right.
to this
more
earlier,
work.
This
mm-hmm.
success without sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I'm working enough and I'm successful enough and mm-hmm. I no longer want to keep climbing. Mm-hmm. But that posed a real challenge for me because I described earlier, I was an A student in school and mm-hmm. I was always striving for the best and the next thing and moving up. And so when I stripped away this desire to keep climbing the corporate ladder, I was confronted with this question, now what?
Right.
You know, if I'm not trying to get to the next level, mm-hmm. what am I trying to do? What is mm-hmm. the impact I'm having? What am right. I doing? And so that was a real challenge for me. Mm-hmm. And I swirled in that challenge for a number of years. Mm-hmm. I knew that I wanted to do something that was meaningful. I wanted to keep growing and achieving success, whatever that meant. But I didn't know what it looked like. I didn't know what it meant, what success meant. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I got stuck. I finally broke out of that when I attended a workshop, and it was actually very short. It was only a 20-minute speaker. Mm-hmm. And inside of this 20 minutes, I got this idea that literally changed the direction of my career.
Wow.
And the idea that I got inside of those 20 minutes was, what if you forget all of the rules that tell you what you can and can't mm-hmm. do? So if you didn't worry about what other people would say or what you've done in the past or whether you have the education or whether mm-hmm. you have enough money saved or whether you know the right mm-hmm. people, if you didn't worry about any of those different things and you just asked yourself, what would you love to be doing with your time and your energy? What contribution would you like mm-hmm. to make? How would you like to be investing yourself mm-hmm. in your work in the world? And the answer that came to me in that moment was, I want to talk to people about what matters in life, mm-hmm. about what does success mean to them and how to achieve it. Mm-hmm. And that quickly evolved into becoming a coach. Mm-hmm. And so I've been a coach under different monikers. I've been mm-hmm. a life coach. I've been a career coach. Mm-hmm. And right now, most of my work is really around executive coaching or business coaching, helping people mm-hmm. accomplish their professional goals in a way that doesn't require sacrifice. Mm-hmm. But I had to go through that whole journey and to be stuck and to be in this place of uncertainty for years until I finally got that idea inside this 20-minute talk mm-hmm. that helped break me out of that.
I love it. You know, and your book was very interesting. And again, it's called Breaking the Code. Show everybody who is watching this. Yes. I was an A student. And, you know, and so I saw a lot of similarities in it when I was reading it. And my first thought as I was kind of going through was, it was almost like the code was your DNA. Mm-hmm. You know, this was what you were meant to do. And more importantly, what you were expected to do. Yeah. Whether it was your family, your partners, your teachers, you know, all of those, it was like, well, you're the good student. You're the perfect student. Therefore, you must do this, this, this. You have to go to college. You have to do that, you know, and all of those things. And that really was, you know, and I think so many people see that, you know, they feel like they have to live up to everybody else's expectations. Mm-hmm. And so I love that you work with executives. And it's, yeah, obviously it applies to any level of anybody, but the executives in particular, because they have been living that life of, this is what you're supposed to be doing for 10, 15, 20, 30 years, and they don't have to.
Right. That's absolutely right. My version of that mm-hmm. is, my dad worked at a big company. He worked at the same company for more than 30 mm-hmm. years until he retired from that company.
Right.
And this was back in the, you know, I grew up in the 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he put on a suit every day mm-hmm. and he had a briefcase right. and he wore his suit and he carried his mm-hmm. briefcase to work every day. And so implicitly or explicitly, that became my model of right. success. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's no wonder that I worked at a company mm-hmm. like General Electric or mm-hmm. Apple.
Yeah, you put your suit on, you had your briefcase.
Exactly. And so I followed in those footsteps. And so the idea of running my own business, being in charge of my own day, being an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. that was really breaking the mold for me. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, it was a scary decision mm-hmm. to leave what I knew mm-hmm. and go off in this new direction. Mm-hmm. And so this is what I talk about as the A trap. Mm-hmm. And it's for A students fall into mm-hmm. this A trap because they keep falling back on what they know. And what they believe they should mm-hmm. be doing and what people have taught them they should be doing or mm-hmm. they're capable of doing, right? I could be the leader of a big corporation. And so I need to put on my suit and carry my briefcase. And I had to break out of that trap mm-hmm. in order to actually find a new path mm-hmm. and the kind of work that I want to do.
Right. Yeah. I found it interesting in your book where you said, you know, you'd made this decision, but you had trouble telling your dad because yeah. it was going to be, but son, you know, Rusty, yeah. that's not what you're supposed to be doing. You're giving up a career at Apple.
Yeah. Well, and thank you for bringing that up. And I actually remember very clearly when I did tell him, and it was after I had made the decision. I had made the decision. I was well down the path. Mm-hmm. And that's when I finally told my dad. Mm-hmm. And two things. One is, his eyes got moist. He was a little bit emotional because I was walking away from a great company. Apple is a wonderful company.
Yeah. And they're going to tell you money, benefits, all of those things, which stability, I mean, that does make sense. Mm-hmm.
And his model of success was you work at a great company and mm-hmm. you stay there. Mm-hmm. And so for me to walk away from that was really challenging for him.
Right.
And to his credit, mm-hmm. he didn't say anything to me. Mm-hmm. He didn't tell me I was making a bad decision. He didn't try to change my mind. He didn't do anything. And so to his credit, he recognized that what was his values, what was important mm-hmm. to him, which, by the way, I had really absorbed in my early life mm-hmm. and I had to work through in order to make this change. That's why it was so hard. Mm-hmm. He recognized that I had my own mm-hmm. guidelines and my own set of rules to follow. And mm-hmm. I think that is such an important piece. And that's really fundamentally where this idea of breaking the code, where the mm-hmm. title of my book comes mm-hmm. from, because it's like we've all been programmed. Right. Whether we were, mm-hmm. Whether that was deliberately, I don't think my dad ever told me you need to work at a big company and stay there forever, but I absorbed it because mm-hmm. that's the environment I was in. And we all absorb it, mm-hmm. right? Especially smart, motivated, driven, mm-hmm. ambitious people. Mm-hmm. We absorb these messages about mm-hmm. what it means to be successful.
Right.
And if you live in that, you're going to be stuck in it. And mm-hmm. that's where you have to break the code.
Right. Yeah. I grew up the same way. I'm at the very, very end of baby boomer. So, things were starting to kind of change. So I at least got the benefit of women didn't have to be teachers, nurses, or mothers. And so that was good. And it was expected that I would go to college. I mean, there was never, if I would have said I want a gap year, but my father had the same job for over 30 years. Now my mom kind of did the combination of part-time, housewife, but lots of volunteer work, things like that. So she had that very traditional type of thing. And when I decided, 20 some years ago to leave corporate America and go on my own, my father, I mean, he's like your dad, didn't say anything. I think my dad didn't know what to say because he didn't understand when I said, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to start my own business. That was just so out of his realm of understanding because he worked for one thing. He was a government employee, but, he was very proud of me. I mean, but if you had said, Don Gore, what does your daughter do? He would have said, it was a challenge. And the funny thing is I married someone who has been with the same company since he got out of college. Mm. That obviously his choice, but the fact that I change and do other things, I think that does kind of perplex him a bit. And it definitely perplexed his family. They were like, now what are you doing? And I think one of the things that I have come across is that so many times people think, oh, it's your hobby. And you're going to go back to working for the man. And they just don't understand sometimes that, I'm going down this different path.
Yeah. Well, I think finding your path is what's mm-hmm. so important. And, I know that a lot of listeners are entrepreneurs and mm-hmm. business owners and small business owners. And so, mm-hmm. you may not relate to this idea of working for the man, working for mm-hmm. the big company and mm-hmm. that kind of transition. But the idea of your habitual ways of thinking, mm-hmm. what's permissible, what's in bounds, what's out of bounds, mm-hmm. what you can do, what you can't mm-hmm. do, that same idea applies to all of us.
Right.
We all have that same approach, mm-hmm. right? As you think about running your business, mm-hmm. what are the things that you have to do in order to run your business? Mm-hmm. How often do you actually think about those and challenge them and even be willing to do an experiment and say, well, what if this thing that I think is sacred, that's so important, what if I didn't do it? Or what if I let somebody else do it instead of I'm being the one who has to do it?
What if I delegate?
Right. Well, and I will tell you that that is, as a business owner, as a small business owner, mm-hmm. I know the challenge of that. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, the pieces of advice I got early on, which has been hugely beneficial mm-hmm. for me, and I think I need to regenerate this in the new year, is to deliberately have somebody that you can delegate things to. Mm-hmm. You know, right. So I my business is just me. I don't have a whole team that I work mm-hmm. with, but I do have a virtual assistant. Mm-hmm. And you know, the piece of the suggestion that was given to me, which I love, is get a virtual assistant mm-hmm. and keep asking yourself, what can you give to that right. person? How mm-hmm. can you build a system? How can you build a process mm-hmm. so you can give things to another person? Mm-hmm. So that's just a simple mm-hmm. example for most of us as entrepreneurs, right? Right? Mm-hmm. We believe we're successful because of the value we add to the business. Mm-hmm. And of course that's true, mm-hmm. but there's always things that you don't, that you're doing that you don't need mm-hmm. to be doing.
Right. Yeah. You know, things that take up our time.
Yes.
Invoicing, you know, dealing with, you know, say you're doing a weekly newsletter, putting that together, all of those things. I mean, so many things are things that other people can handle. And, you know, what I've discovered is, and, you know, I had to fight this myself, was the fact that somebody else not only could do it, they might do it better than me. You know, and I don't know, maybe that comes back to being the A student, type A, yeah, you know, all of those things, you know, and realize, like, my producer is a virtual assistant and she does an absolutely fabulous job. We were trying to figure out the other day if we're starting year four or starting year five together, but obviously quite a long time. And she does do things different than what I would do, and mm-hmm. they are better. You know, and it's like, oh, okay. But yeah, getting used to that was a little bit of a challenge.
It is. It's, and so that's perfect that you brought that back to the A mm-hmm. students, right? Because, you know, we all have heard the adage, if you want something done right, do it yourself. Mm-hmm. And so many A students buy into that, right? Because right. we're competitive. The reason we're successful mm-hmm. is because of the effort we put in right. and we're smart and we're hardworking mm-hmm. and all of that. It's like, that's great, but mm-hmm. that also gets in your way. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of these things that, especially as a small business owner, as an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. it's so important to be looking at that and challenging yourself and right. saying, just keep stretching, pushing the envelope. Where's the next thing that I can mm-hmm. let go of and mm-hmm. have somebody else take on?
Right, right. You know, and I love that, you know, millennials have a totally different outlook on a lot of this. And so many times people of my generation are like, oh, millennials, oh, they change jobs every 2 years. Right. They want to be fulfilled. Ooh, yeah. And I tell them, excuse me, you raised them. You know? And of course we did. We raised them because we knew there was more. You know, you don't want to job hop, but you do want to be fulfilled, you know, and you want to work for companies that give meaning. I mean, all of those various things that millennials do that so many of us are just totally perplexed at.
Right. Well, and I think that part of the challenges for many of us is we're not just perplexed by it, mm-hmm. but we're judgmental of it.
Right. It's like, well, what do you mean you've changed jobs every 2 years? What's wrong
exactly.
with you?
What's wrong with you? It's not right to change mm-hmm. jobs every 2 years. Mm-hmm. You're doing, you know, you're not mm-hmm. navigating your career effectively. You're not being responsible. Mm-hmm. Whatever the story is or the words that we have that go along with that, it's very easy to be judgmental of others for the way they're navigating. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I remember somebody saying, like, oh, these millennials, they want to be fulfilled in their job. And I'm like,
oh, gasp, that's you? Horrible.
I think, don't we all want that, yes. right? That somehow we've built up this expectation that you have to suffer in your job and mm-hmm. you shouldn't even ask for fulfillment. But mm-hmm. but fundamentally, don't we all want fulfillment? Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's another one of these elements of the A trap or just our habitual way of working, mm-hmm. which is we're used to the ways in which we are uncomfortable, mm-hmm. right? I'm okay being uncomfortable mm-hmm. suffering through my work, or right. I'm okay being uncomfortable mm-hmm. putting in a lot of extra time and energy mm-hmm. and effort in order to get something done. Mm-hmm. And so we get used to being uncomfortable in certain ways mm-hmm. and we'll keep being uncomfortable in right. those ways.
Because we know what it's like.
We know what it's like. Mm-hmm. And so the part of that opportunity mm-hmm. is to say, am I willing to be uncomfortable in a different way? Mm-hmm. Am I willing to be uncomfortable in asking for what I really want? Mm-hmm. Whether that's the millennial idea of, you know, wanting fulfillment, or as a small business owner, mm-hmm. talking to a client or a potential client mm-hmm. and say, you're exactly the kind of person that I do great work for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want to work with you.
Right.
Are you willing to ask those kind of things? Mm-hmm. Are you willing to network with someone who may seem out of reach, mm-hmm. to make that call, to make a request, or try to connect with somebody mm-hmm. that feels like they're, you know, a little bit beyond your mm-hmm. current sphere? Mm-hmm. But are you willing to be uncomfortable enough to take that risk
right.
and go off and mm-hmm. start that kind of conversation? Right. So this is about finding different ways to be uncomfortable mm-hmm. rather than the same ways we've always been mm-hmm. uncomfortable.
Right. You know, and it's funny because our generation is uncomfortable with it. The generations that came after us are like, well, why wouldn't I just, you know, like I was trying to come up with a contact here at Emory University. And I was thinking, oh, you know, okay, I can do LinkedIn. And do I know somebody who could introduce and blah, 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 you know, I'm almost talking myself out of this, right?
Yep.
And, but a younger generation would go, well, they wouldn't pick up the phone because they don't do that. But they would say, why are you even hesitating to contact them? I don't understand why. You know, and they would just, you know, and they would figure they're either going to respond or they're not. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, and I would still be going, well, now I don't want to bother, you know, all of those things, right?
Well, I think one of the things that you're getting to is fear of failure, fear mm-hmm. of rejection, mm-hmm. fear of criticism, fear of judgment, right. all of those things kind of back to this idea of the A student. Mm-hmm.
Right. Heaven forbid we get a B.
Exactly. And we spent so much of our academic career and then our professional career mm-hmm. avoiding those things, right? Avoiding the B, avoiding the criticism, the judgment, the failure, the lost sales opportunity, whatever it is. We spend so much of our time and energy avoiding those uncomfortable situations.
Right.
I really believe that one of the keys to success in business and in life more broadly, but specifically mm-hmm. in business, is courage. Mm-hmm. And courage is not an absence of fear. Courage is not like, oh, I'm not afraid, you know, forget fear. I don't have fear.
Right.
That's not what courage is. Courage is feeling afraid and doing it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, yeah, I'm uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going to happen. They might say no. I might get mm-hmm. rejected. I might get nothing. I might just mm-hmm. be a vacuum, right? No
right.
response at all. But I'm going to do it anyway because it's something that I'm interested in and I want.
Right, right. You know, and I think, yeah, the A student thing is, you know, we did whatever it took to get that A. Mm-hmm. So we kept pleasing people. We didn't question them. I mean, all of those various things, you know, and it really was that, you know, we didn't want to do anything to not get that A.
Right.
So, you know, we always did whatever they asked us to do, even when we didn't like it or believe it. I mean, you know, there were times where I would answer questions, you know, not math, because math, you know, is pretty absolute, but, you know, English, you know, other types of things where there were different types of answers. But I would always think, what do they want me to say?
Right.
And I even did that, you know, when I was in corporate America and they would make us take those silly personality tests, right? You know, the whatever they were. And I never thought, what should I say? I always thought, what do they want me to say? You know, and that is that we have to fit that mold.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think what you're talking about is like, I recognize this in myself on a day-to-day basis, right? Mm-hmm. Even in this conversation, Deb, right? We could be approaching this as like, what should I say? What do they want to hear? What's mm-hmm. relevant to the listeners? Mm-hmm. And those are all important questions. Mm-hmm. And it becomes this delicate balance of mm-hmm. being relevant to your market, being relevant to your customers, talking about the things that they want to say, but mm-hmm. bringing your conviction and your point mm-hmm. of view to it rather than thinking, I've got to be all oriented towards mm-hmm. them, towards mm-hmm. my customers. Of course, you want to understand them, but you also mm-hmm. want to bring your perspective. And mm-hmm. I think for a small business owner, for an entrepreneur, whatever your product or service is, mm-hmm. you've got to stand behind it. You've mm-hmm. got to really believe in it. And of course, it has to be relevant mm-hmm. to your customers.
Right.
But when you go too far in that direction mm-hmm. of just trying to please mm-hmm. the other person all the time, that also doesn't work
right.
very well.
Well, and that's where we see businesses that fail because yeah. they go too far. You know, the client might say, I'm not going to pay that much, mm-hmm. but what will you pay? Or,
right.
you know, all of these various things. And we bring about the downfall of our business simply because we wanted to please people. And for some reason, we think we shouldn't be making money. I mean, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day and they said, and what are your goals? in, you know, because I've started a new business venture, and I said, hello, I want to make money. And I could see them kind of be taken aback. And I said, I can't do what I want to do if I don't make money. You know, it's otherwise it is just a hobby and things right. like that. But yeah, you know, we do, we, you know, and I think, especially for women, I see it happen more mm-hmm. with women because we want to please people and we're nurturing them where, you know, you tell a client, okay, the cost is 5,000 and they say, well, I can only afford 4,000 and we go, okay. And what we should say is, okay, what are we taking off? You know, or can we take off, sure. you know, or things like that? You know, what is going to bring it down to the 4,000? I had a new logo designed for this new business venture. Lovely young woman, just out of design school. And I was probably her first paying client. Now, she did an invoice that was very professionally. So I was very impressed by that. But she immediately did the, I will fix it for free. I will do, and I said, nope. And I told her, I said, I will pay for that. And don't you ever devalue yourself like that again. Mm-hmm. And I could tell she was a little bit taken aback. And I told her, I said, you know, if you don't value yourself, why am I going to value you?
Yeah, I think that's such an important point. And, you know, I think many people have this idea that wanting money or liking money is a bad thing.
Right.
And you know, to some degree, we understand that, right? Mm-hmm. Because we've all heard the expressions, money's the root of all evil mm-hmm. and so on. But, you know, money really does not, it does not create behavior. Mm-hmm. It amplifies behavior. Mm-hmm. So right. mm-hmm. if you have a lot of money and you're kind of a really respectable, generous, kind mm-hmm. person, it just creates more opportunities right. for you to express that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if you have a lot of money and you're selfish and mean and mm-hmm. vengeful, it creates opportunities mm-hmm. for you to amplify that and right. to bring more of that into the world. Mm-hmm. But you know, if we can come to a different relationship with money and say mm-hmm. money is really just a vehicle for expression of yourself mm-hmm. in the world, right? Mm-hmm. To amplify who you mm-hmm. are. And if you think about it in that way, it's no longer kind of carries the negative connotation of like, mm-hmm. well, it's bad to want money. No, of course, it's good to want money right. because it creates the opportunity mm-hmm. for you to be your best self and mm-hmm. to be the kind of person you want to be in mm-hmm. the world.
Right. You know, and the problem comes in when we see the excesses or what we judge sure. to be the excesses. Let me put right. it that way. You know, where, you know, like I look at picture, you know, I'm here in Atlanta, you're in Silicon Valley. So a lot of the same stuff, we see these giant mansions.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's two of you. Why do you need 15 bedrooms? And for them, that was important.
Yeah.
You know, and there are things that I know I spend money on that people are like, what the heck? Why? And even if it's just something as frivolous as your new pair of tennis shoes or something, mm-hmm. And now my mother, bless her heart. See, I live in the South now. I can say that. She will tell people, you know, she's a child of the Depression and she is Scottish. Yeah. So, you know, she's, you know, frugal, and I will say, you know, I did such and such, and she will, I don't understand that. How can you be so wasteful? Those tennis shoes you could still wear for another 2 months. But my toe was sticking out. or I just wanted a new pair of tennis shoes. I mean, right. you know, I shouldn't have to justify that I did that. And especially at my age. But right, our mothers always have that sway over us, right?
Of course. Well, and that's back to the programming, right? Mm-hmm. It's back to the code, this idea right. that like we mm-hmm. have this way of walking through the world, mm-hmm. of seeing the world and interacting, mm-hmm. what we think is okay and not mm-hmm. okay and so on. And so, you know, the tennis shoes is a great example, right? That's a very good kind of personal mm-hmm. example I think most people can relate to.
Right.
But we all have it, right? Mm-hmm. If you think about your business and you think about that same idea in mm-hmm. your business and you think about what is your approach to spending money and investing in your business?
Right.
Are you the kind of person who readily invests in your business because you know that it's going to pay dividends? Mm-hmm. Or are you kind of person who's very frugal, right? That, you know, child of the mm-hmm. depression, if you will, mm-hmm. but you know, I've got to count all of my nickels and mm-hmm. dimes and make sure that I'm frugal because that drives profitability. Right. Well, it does. But it also could impact your growth. Mm-hmm. And right. so I think, you know, one of the things I think is so important is for people to start to pay attention to where is your bias, We're all biased, right? We're all biased this way or that way. Mm-hmm. Like, are you biased towards spending money freely? Or are you biased towards being very frugal mm-hmm. and penny pinching? Mm-hmm. And just recognize that, because if you, once you know what your bias is, then you can start to observe yourself and mm-hmm. say, is this, am I making this right. just because mm-hmm. it's my habit? Mm-hmm. Am I buying 20 pairs of tennis shoes mm-hmm. because that's what I like to do? Mm-hmm. And do I really need 20 pairs of mm-hmm. tennis shoes? Or am I not buying any and my toe is sticking out? Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm saying, hey, it's time to invest. Mm-hmm. So when you recognize your bias, and again, using the mm-hmm. tennis shoes example, but it applies to business as well, mm-hmm. to be thinking about mm-hmm. how do you normally make decisions? And is that serving you? And is mm-hmm. can you experiment and kind of try to move on that spectrum mm-hmm. to a slightly different place and mm-hmm. see what happens?
Right. Yeah, you know, and recognizing our bias when we're viewing someone else. I mean, the tennis shoe example is another great one. I have a friend who just graduated from college. So he's 22-ish. And now this kid's going to be one of those millionaire, billionaire people. I mean, you know, he's but one of the things he buys the designer tennis shoes. And I remember mm-hmm. one time, you know, we were with him and he said, yeah, I just spent $600 on a pair of tennis shoes. You did what? And he said, I already have a buyer at 900. And I went, oh, okay. I mean, yeah, I mean, for him, it was an investment. But it was just, for me, the bias was you wasted that money. And mm-hmm. then he very rightly pointed out, oh no, I didn't. Mm-hmm. you know, but I think it's so important that when we are looking at other people, we do recognize what our bias is. Yeah. You know, and then, you know, deal with it that way.
And I think that's such a great example, because if we bring it back into the business world, right, mm-hmm. who would not want to buy something for $600 and sell mm-hmm. it for $900?
Right. Doesn't matter what it is.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what it is. And as a business owner, you say, mm-hmm. sign me up. That sounds great. I'd love to do that. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of people, right, like your initial reaction, mm-hmm. who would say, tennis shoes, $600? You're mm-hmm. crazy. You can't right. spend $600 on tennis shoes. Mm-hmm. And when you have that mentality, that's your bias, and mm-hmm. you've just shut down a part of your business. You've just mm-hmm. shut down a business mm-hmm. opportunity. So that is just a great, mm-hmm. simple way. And just for anyone listening, just pay attention to what was your reaction when Deb told that story. Someone right. paid $600 for tennis mm-hmm. shoes. Is your reaction like Deb's? Like, that's nuts. You can't mm-hmm. spend that. Or is your reaction like, oh, what a cool idea. You spend $600, right. you get a buyer for $900. Mm-hmm. I wonder where those opportunities are mm-hmm. for me. Right? Because that initial reaction is your indicator. That's showing you where your bias is. Right. And you can learn from that mm-hmm. and you can start to experiment with right. it.
And of course, what happens is as you said, we shut those things down. Yeah. You know, whether it was tennis shoes, whether it was whatever, if I had said, no, you don't do that, then you lost out on that $300 profit. Yep. You know, and how many times do we do that in business where, you know, we think about something and we talk ourselves out of it because of our biases?
Absolutely. If we go back to the smart, ambitious, mm-hmm. driven people,
right.
One of the challenges that we face, you know, especially people formerly mm-hmm. A students, recovering A students, mm-hmm. One of the areas we can fall into this A trap is we're really smart and analytical.
Mm-hmm. And we can talk ourselves analytical.
Yes, mm-hmm. over analytical. And we can talk ourselves out of something that we know is a good idea mm-hmm. Because it's risky. We mm-hmm. haven't done it before. It might fail. I'll mm-hmm. go back to the story you shared about networking to find mm-hmm. somebody at Emory. Mm-hmm. And all of the hesitations of, well, I don't know what might mm-hmm. this person say, and maybe I don't pick up the phone, and mm-hmm. so we can talk ourselves out of things. Right. And so that's, you know, one of these challenges that we're mm-hmm. overly analytical. Mm-hmm. And if we can just tune into, hey, there's a part of me that thinks this is mm-hmm. a cool idea, and mm-hmm. I would love to have it happen.
Right.
I'm going to go for it.
Right. You know, and that's not to say we just jump in. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. you still want to be thoughtful about it. So like, the person at Emory that I want to talk to, I wouldn't just say, hey, dude, you know, I would say, you know, here is, I would have this well thought out pitch basically, yeah. you know, for talking to him. And, you know, and again, that, you know, that's sometimes is different with generations also. Yeah. You know, I remember years ago, I had an employee, and this was when I was in corporate America, who she was our CEO. needed a little script written. He was going to leave a voicemail message for everybody in the company. And, and so, you know, he just needed it written out. So I gave it to her and made the mistake of not saying, run it past me first. And so she wrote it. She sent it to him in, you know, sent an email, and I get this phone call and, you know, caller ID. So I, of course, answer the phone differently because it's the CEO who's calling. Right. And so I put on my, you know, and I said, you know, this is Deborah. And he doesn't say hello. He doesn't. What he says is, fire her. And I went, I mean, I didn't even know what he was talking about. And of course, what she had done was, in essence, sent him how what she would do if she was texting friends her age. So it had no punctuation. It had, no, you know, it had grammatical errors, all of these things, because she was 20. He was in his 50s. I mean, all these various things. And so when I discovered all of that, I said, okay, no, not going to fire her. We're going to use this as a teaching moment. And so I went back to her and I said, okay, my mistake, you know, but for this. And I explained to her, when you're communicating with the CEO of, excuse me, a very large corporation, you don't start with, hey, dude. but yeah, I mean, it was just, and I think that's part of the biases that come about too, is, you know, we forget that somebody might really, really want to only communicate with text. Somebody else might only want to communicate via phone call, you know? And so we have to adapt to that if we want to work with them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I've worked with clients who I've had this exact conversation. Because so many people, and I think business owners fall into this too. It's like, we can get so overwhelmed mm-hmm. with all the different channels of communication, mm-hmm. all the different types of communication. Mm-hmm. There's so much information and requests mm-hmm. coming at us mm-hmm. that it can be very difficult to be proactive and say, what do I actually need to do to grow mm-hmm. and grow my business to be successful? Mm-hmm. And so the question that I've asked my clients is, you know, do you know, when you think about the people you work with, mm-hmm. do you know what their preferred method of communication is? And they all say yes, right? Because we all know some people respond to email. Some people, mm-hmm. you may as well never email them because they'll never respond. Mm-hmm. Some people you have to call, some people you text, right? But we mm-hmm. know this. And I say, well, can't you have your preferred way of communication? Right. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh no, I have to respond to everybody on every channel. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, again, one of these little pieces of training that we somehow believe that we're unique and that we have to be responsive everywhere, right. as opposed to saying, hey, this is my preferred way of communication. Mm-hmm. And there's two ways to go about that. One is just to start doing it that way. Mm-hmm. And the people who work with you regularly will learn, just like right. you've learned about them. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, Deb is
Rusty
really good
only
on email.
Wants to be texted.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But don't ever bother calling because she'll never pick up the phone. Mm-hmm. Right? That's hypothetical. I don't know if that's true about you. But so you can just do it. Mm-hmm. Or I've seen plenty of people who have an email, automatic email response that mm-hmm. comes back and says, I only check email once a day. Mm-hmm. If it's urgent, please text me. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, those kinds of things. Or you could even say, I don't check email regularly. If mm-hmm. this is important, please send me a text or a Slack or whatever mm-hmm. it is. So you can guide people and shape mm-hmm. the way the communication comes mm-hmm. into you. And you don't have to be mm-hmm. the jack of all trades. You don't mm-hmm. have to be everything to everybody. And I think that's one of the ways mm-hmm. we were talking about earlier, that it's challenging for people, mm-hmm. especially entrepreneurs and business owners, if they think they have to be everywhere all the time, mm-hmm. you just can't do it.
Right. You know, at the start, we talked about, you know, success without having to sacrifice whatever it is, you know, and you know, you mentioned being in a band, being outdoors, being with your family. I mean, you know, all of these things. And especially in the last 2.5 years with COVID, I think it certainly seems like so many people are really rethinking that, you know, why am I at this job? And have you found that in the last couple of years, people have really started examining their careers a lot more?
Absolutely. People are asking those questions. And I think COVID just shone a spotlight on it, in part because everything else was stripped away, right? All of the restaurants and the activities mm-hmm. you did outside and the hobbies and the movies mm-hmm. and all of those things.
We couldn't go on our hiking path behind the house. I was like, what's up with that?
I know. Thankfully that loosened up as we learned, but you know, yes, in the early days, we couldn't even go to the parks. The parks were all shut down. Mm-hmm. So absolutely, as all those things were stripped away, what was left was you're sitting in your house and you're working. And so you've got your family and your work. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people just got to this question of, oh man, all these things that I always thought were required, now I'm not doing, mm-hmm. like getting dressed up in the morning and carrying the, putting on the suit and the briefcase, mm-hmm. right?
Shoes.
going into the office, the commute, all of that kind of stuff just disappeared. And it just raised, opened up this question. Well, mm-hmm. if all these things I thought were required are no longer mm-hmm. required, then what about all these other things that I think are required? Are they really required? Mm-hmm. And we've seen that in the last couple of years as this whole idea of returning to the office mm-hmm. has played out. Mm-hmm. Because companies want people to come back. Yeah, they say that's required. You're required mm-hmm. to be in the office. And employees are saying, well, is that really required? Right. Because yeah. I prefer mm-hmm. not to
come. I got my work done and I wasn't in the office.
Right. Right. And so that mm-hmm. is definitely playing out. And it's just related to this bigger question of, you know, what's it all mm-hmm. for? What am I doing? And right. that's where this idea of success without sacrifice comes mm-hmm. from. You know, certainly if you want to grow a business, if you're a business owner, if you're an mm-hmm. entrepreneur and you've got ambitions to keep growing your business, that takes time and energy. There's no question right. about that. We mm-hmm. all know that it takes your time and energy. Mm-hmm. The question is that time and energy a sacrifice or mm-hmm. not? And that is where that's where you have to ask the questions. Mm-hmm. Because if you feel like you're not getting the time with your family, mm-hmm. You have no hobbies, all you do mm-hmm. is work and eat and sleep, mm-hmm. Then that's a challenge. Mm-hmm. So one of my clients, I remember telling me in our initial conversation, he said he had not been to the doctor in 5 years because he didn't have time.
Whoa.
Right? It's mm-hmm. just, you know, and so mm-hmm. one of the things is like very simple. He's like, hey, I like part of the reason I'm having these conversations is because I want to take better care of myself,
right?
That includes going to the mm-hmm. doctor, but it's exercising, mm-hmm. it's getting out and doing some fun things, socializing mm-hmm. and so on. And through the course of the work that we did together, he added those things into his life. So he made it to the doctor. He started playing golf more regularly, mm-hmm. which for him was entertainment, but it was also exercise.
But he was networking too, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But the result of all of this was he became more effective at work mm-hmm. because he delegated more. He made decisions faster. Mm-hmm. He had a better perspective because mm-hmm. he wasn't in the weeds all the time. Mm-hmm. He was able to zoom out mm-hmm. because he got out of work periodically.
Right.
And the result of all of this was he ended up more successful at work. He got mm-hmm. a promotion opportunity mm-hmm. and he was happier because he wasn't spending all of his time and energy at work.
Right.
And so that's where this idea of success without sacrifice mm-hmm. comes from. And it works for business owners too, right. because we just get mm-hmm. sucked into the day-to-day mm-hmm. grind. And as we've talked already about delegation mm-hmm. and so on, it's being able to zoom mm-hmm. out and pull out of some of those things that you can actually be more successful right. and have more time to invest in the things that are important to you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I remember, you know, several months ago, the whole Tom Brady, Giselle, you know, divorce thing. And somebody interviewed Giselle and they, you know, and they were like, well, but he's bringing home lots of money. He's famous, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, they go through that big list. And I mean, you know, yes, he is. If now I'm a Colorado person, so I have John Elway and I have Peyton Manning and, you know, so, he was, you know, extremely successful. And I remember she said, I just wanted him home.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, well, and that was what it came down to, you know, and now granted, I think she actually has more money than him, but you know, all of these various things, but yeah, it was, he had all of those other things, but she just wanted him home.
Well, and I think that's part of this idea of success without sacrifice is to take the time to define what is success. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to just adopt the definition that is given to us right. through media mm-hmm. and society and mm-hmm. social media.
Yeah, we have to have 2.5 kids. We have to have the 14-bedroom house. I mean, all of those right. things.
Exactly, exactly. And to really get clear for yourself about what is success, because mm-hmm. so many people will say, and you know, use Tom Brady as an example. I don't know if this is the case for him or not, but you know, hey, I will be home and I will do all those other things mm-hmm. once I'm successful, once mm-hmm. I have reached these milestones.
Right. But you and always keep going.
Yes.
Gotta hit that next milestone.
And that's exactly mm-hmm. what Tom Brady's story is, mm-hmm. right? How many years has he been on mm-hmm. the cusp of retirement or right. he retires and he mm-hmm. comes back into the game? And, mm-hmm. you know, but think about that in your own life. Mm-hmm. Think about, do you have a finish line, right? Mm-hmm. So many of us think about retirement as this finish line. Like, mm-hmm. hey, once I've got financial success and independence, yeah, and
then we'll travel, then we'll, you know.
Yes, then mm-hmm. I will do all those things. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, just again, turn that around and say, is that success for you? Mm-hmm. Is it worth sacrificing all of those things now and delaying them? You know, we're all taught the value of delayed gratification. Mm-hmm. I get that. But to what degree, right? Mm-hmm. Can you incorporate some of those things into mm-hmm. your life now and enjoy your life more along the way? Okay, so just two simple examples of that. I mean, one of those is this concept that I heard years and years ago. I heard this idea. Somebody said, I'm not going to retire at the end of my career. I'm going to retire throughout my career. And the idea was this person would work for 5 years and then take a year off. Mm-hmm. And then go back and work for 5 years and then take a year off. So why wait until the end of your life mm-hmm. when you're older and when your mm-hmm. kids aren't around and all this to quote unquote, enjoy life? Mm-hmm. Why not enjoy it along the way?
Right.
So I was intrigued with that. I thought it was mm-hmm. such a great idea mm-hmm. and I never had the guts to do it when I worked mm-hmm. in the corporate world.
Right. Because you think my job's not going to be there.
Sure. Well, and that job may not be there, mm-hmm. but another job will.
Right.
But you know, I never had the guts to do that. But what mm-hmm. I have started to do is all of these things that have been on my list, of things I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I've just decided how I want to start doing those things now.
Right.
Right. So, you know, travel ideas, mm-hmm. places that I've, or experiences mm-hmm. that I've wanted to have. And I said, you know, rather than say someday I'm going to go do that, you know, pick mm-hmm. one and right. say, plan it for this year, mm-hmm. And just put it on the calendar.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and I love the example that you're setting for your son, mm-hmm. because you are showing him that, yeah, this is an option. I mean, you know, it might not be what he wants to go with because like you said, we all make all of the decisions ourselves, but he is seeing there is a different way to do this.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's important. I was actually talking about this with someone earlier today. Mm-hmm. And there's two kind of common examples that I see a lot of people setting. One is work, 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 devote everything to work, put all mm-hmm. of your time and energy into that. And is that the kind of example mm-hmm. you want to set for your family?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I remember when I was a child, I remember mm-hmm. I was a little bit like Giselle saying, mm-hmm. I just want my dad around, mm-hmm. right? He worked very hard. He was very mm-hmm. successful in his career by all kind of external means. Mm-hmm. And my preference was, geez, I wish he was around a little bit mm-hmm. more.
And that's always what the kids are going to say. I just want a dad, mom to be there.
Of course. Of mm-hmm. course. But the other example that I see is people who are in jobs, maybe, you know, working hard, but they're not mm-hmm. thrilled with it. Right. Mm-hmm. So I described the end of my tenure at Apple where mm-hmm. I said, you know, hey, Apple's a great company. Mm-hmm. I could stay here for a long time, but mm-hmm. I'm not sure what it means to me anymore. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what does your work mean to you? Is it just mm-hmm. about turning the crank and bringing mm-hmm. home a paycheck? Or is there something a little bit more to it? Mm-hmm. Because if it's just turning the crank and bringing home a paycheck, that's also an example you're mm-hmm. setting for your children.
Right.
And I, you know, I just used my own example mm-hmm. of how strongly I was influenced by mm-hmm. what I saw around me. Mm-hmm. And we all are as kids. Right. And so to think about what is the example you're setting mm-hmm. in your relationship to work? Mm-hmm. And I don't think, you know, we talk about work-life balance and I actually don't mm-hmm. like that idea because
that's 50-50. And I tell people that, no, it's never going to be that.
It's never 50-50. Mm-hmm. And you never achieve it. Work-life mm-hmm. balance is dynamic. Right. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, you're never on balance. You're always mm-hmm. a little bit this way or a little mm-hmm. bit that way. Mm-hmm. And so this idea is really finding this dynamic state. Mm-hmm. And as you'll swing around and sometimes mm-hmm. you'll find yourself working a lot and mm-hmm. say, oh, I feel like I'm missing out at things at home. Right. Other times you might swing the other way mm-hmm. and be like, oh, I've really been enjoying my life mm-hmm. and doing a lot of great things, but I've kind of neglecting work. I've got to mm-hmm. adjust again. Mm-hmm. And it's being willing to be in that dynamic mm-hmm. state and to continue to find the pathway for you that's right. So you're incorporating mm-hmm. some of the beauty of life now. And you're mm-hmm. not saying, I'm going to do all of that once mm-hmm. I've achieved X, Y, and Z.
Right. Yeah. You know, and like we were saying, COVID was one of those wake-up calls. Yeah. You know, I got one of those wake-up calls in 2015 when the doctor said, hey, you have cancer. Mm-hmm. You know, and I went, ugh. And I literally looked at my doctor and said, I'm sorry, that's not on my schedule. She hadn't dealt with me enough to know that I was just going to be one of those wackadoodle patients. But yeah, it was like, no, that's not on my schedule. And, you know, but through the course of that, I realized, okay, I first of all, I'm not going to be around toxic people. That is mm-hmm. is one of the things. And, you know, if it's, you know, to definitely to do the things now that, you know, you don't want to put off because you don't know what's going to happen. You know, and so it's, you know, and but yeah, COVID was that too, where people, you know, when they were home, especially when they were home with the kids and all of those things, was like, oh my gosh, a lot of people were like, I got to go back to the office. But, you know, it was, they really did think, you know, there is more to life than just having my job.
Absolutely. So, you know, just as you were saying that, I'm just reminded, and I don't think we've talked about this, but I want to share for the listeners just two tools that I think are kind of simple, but really mm-hmm. profound in right. helping to accomplish a lot mm-hmm. of what we're talking mm-hmm. about here. And it's CNC, mm-hmm. and it stands for coffee and calendar. So the coffee, first of all, mm-hmm. The idea with coffee, it's not just the caffeine, it's not the experience mm-hmm. of drinking coffee, but it's the coffee break. Because we can get so nose down in our work, right? Mm-hmm. And I've been this way where I'm like, I'm working and I'm saying, hey, I really want to go out for a walk. Oh, just this last two emails or just this last, you know.
And then it's dark.
And mm-hmm. you've missed the walk. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I would ask the listeners to raise their hand, but like, mm-hmm. I'm sure you've all had that experience mm-hmm. where there's something that you want, but mm-hmm. you don't do it because you keep putting it off. Mm-hmm. So the purpose of the coffee break is to take a break, to get some perspective, walk away from work for a few mm-hmm. minutes. And it needs to be a, you know, a decent sized break, at least mm-hmm. 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, could be even be an hour, an afternoon, whatever mm-hmm. is right for you, but to get some distance from work mm-hmm. and to ask these, to be thinking about multiple questions, like what do you want to accomplish in your mm-hmm. life at large? Mm-hmm. What are some of those things that maybe you've been putting off that it's time to pull into your mm-hmm. current calendar and schedule? Mm-hmm. And then also, what are some of the things in your job, in your mm-hmm. work, that you can be doing differently, right. that you could be adding in, things, mm-hmm. that, opportunities that you haven't mm-hmm. pursued because you're so busy mm-hmm. with other things? What are some of those kind of game changer mm-hmm. things? So that's the purpose of coffee. It's the mm-hmm. coffee break, to get some distance, because mm-hmm. we were saying earlier how we're bombarded with ideas and mm-hmm. content and requests and messages that come at us all the time. Part of the coffee break is to step away from that, mm-hmm. to get away from it, turn it off. Give yourself some quiet to listen mm-hmm. to what comes from inside of you. Mm-hmm. That's the coffee. Mm-hmm. Then the second part is the calendar, which is very simple. It's like, put it on your calendar.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Most of us
a friend that puts walk the dog twice a day on his calendar.
Yeah.
He would walk the dog no matter what, because the dog is there going, hello, hello. But by having it on his calendar, it makes him do it.
Yeah. And that's great. So the calendar can be useful for those day-to-day routine mm-hmm. things. I've had exercise on my calendar. Mm-hmm. I took it off my calendar because I was like, well, I don't always do it at that time. Mm-hmm. And then, you know what? I'm not exercising as mm-hmm. much. So just the simple reminder of having mm-hmm. it on there, even if you move it, even if your timing mm-hmm. shifts a little bit, it's really useful for the day-to-day mm-hmm. things like walk the dog and exercise. Mm-hmm. But it's incredibly powerful for those one-off kinds of things, like mm-hmm. the vacation you've been wanting to take, mm-hmm. or the person you wanting to reach mm-hmm. out to at Emory, or mm-hmm. the business opportunity you want to pursue, mm-hmm. to actually schedule those things on your calendar. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. for most of us, we get that idea on the coffee break, mm-hmm. right? When we're out for a walk, right. when we're on a, mm-hmm. in a conversation, the idea comes to us. We're like, oh, that's something that would be mm-hmm. really powerful in my mm-hmm. business. I want to do that. Mm-hmm. And then we don't do it.
Right.
Right. It might be on a to-do list somewhere. Mm-hmm. Maybe we capture the idea, but we don't
get it. It's on a sticky note. And now you don't even know what it says.
Exactly. And we don't do it because mm-hmm. we didn't take that second step and mm-hmm. put it on the calendar. Mm-hmm. And it's because most of us think, well, most of us are pretty good as ball business owners, especially mm-hmm. if you work in the corporate world, but even in the business, the small business world or entrepreneurial world, mm-hmm. we're pretty good at following what's on our calendar.
Right.
But we forget that we decide what's on our calendar. Mm-hmm. And it's taking advantage of that and putting mm-hmm. the things on your calendar that matter to you, mm-hmm. that are going to make a difference right. in your personal life and your business life, mm-hmm. and then doing them.
Right.
It's pretty simple.
Right. And it's the, and doing them, that's the important part. Because, you know, just putting it on the calendar and then pushing it another month, pushing it another month, pushing it a year, yeah. that doesn't do any good.
No, no. And in fact, I, you know, in, as you're thinking about the calendar, especially if it's the business opportunities that you're wanting to pursue, I highly recommend that you do it in the next 7 to 10 days. Right? The sooner the better. When you get the idea, take action on it. Do it, right? There's already some energy and some momentum building because you've got this idea. Follow through on that. And one of the things that I did for over a year was I took cold showers every morning. And most people will say, you're crazy for a cold shower. And it was miserable. And pretty much every one of those 365 days, I stood there with the cold water running and had to talk myself into
why am I doing this?
Why am I doing this? Maybe just this once I'll do it. You know, I'll take a warm shower, whatever. It was challenging pretty much every day. But one of the things that I learned from that, and I still occasionally take cold showers, is a willingness to tolerate the discomfort. And recognizing, first of all, it's not nearly as bad as I think it's going to be. And second of all, it ends. And if I can remember those two things when it comes to that thing that I scheduled on my calendar, one, it's not nearly as bad as I think it's going to be. And two, it's going to end. And actually, I'll add a third, which it feels pretty good once you're done. If you remember those three things, you don't even have, you can skip the cold showers if you want, but those three important lessons they're going to help you to actually take action on these things.
I love it. Well, oh my gosh, Rusty, we are almost at the top of the hour. This has been such a fun conversation. We have to continue it because I didn't even get through all my notes. And so we just need to do that. Tell people, how to reach you and what are the services that you provide? And then of course you have your book.
So, the best way to reach me is email rusty@rustygaylor.com or my website is rustygaylor.com. And I believe that will be in the show notes, right? Because the spelling of my last name is a little tricky. So that's the best way to reach me. I'm also on LinkedIn all the time. So you can also find me there. Really the primary service I provide is one-on-one leadership coaching. And executive coaching. So I help people grow their business. I help people succeed in their career. But that always starts with what does success look like for you, right? Because we all have challenges. We all have things that we want. We all have things that aren't working. So the, I start my work with, let's dig into that. Let's understand it. And then let's craft a picture of success together. And then we'll go off and implement it. But all along the way, we're going to be talking about breaking the code. Again, the title of my book, because we have... The reason you're, if you knew how to do this, you would be doing it. And same is true for all of us. So it's finding those things that are standing in our way and removing them. And so again, this is part of this idea that you can have success without sacrifice because it's not about doing more. It's not about you're already working, whatever, 60 hours a week and now you got to go to 70, you got to get to 80 and you got to wake up at 5 a.m. and you've got to take cold showers, whatever it is. It's not all about that. It's about what are the things that you're, that are standing in your way. And when you can remove the stuff that's in your way, then you can achieve the success. You can achieve the, your goals. And so that's that. I think that's an important element of this is it's not all about more. It's actually about less and finding the things that you can remove so that you can be successful.
You know, and remembering that it's your life. It's nobody else's life.
Absolutely. It's your life. You get to live it the way you want and you get to define success and what matters to you. And that's really the, fundamentally, I love that element of it. And it goes way beyond the business results and the personal results that, that my clients have achieved. And it just gets to this sense of freedom. You get to define your life and live your life the way you want to. And I just, I'm a big supporter of that kind of achievement and what I'll call as real success for people.
I love it. I love it. Well, Rusty, this really has been absolutely fascinating. And like I said, I can't wait to continue this conversation. But until then, do you have any other final thoughts that you want to leave everyone with?
I do. I guess one final thought is I hope that each of you listening can give, would give yourself the gift of 15 minutes, 20 minutes of coffee break, but deliberately with the intention of breaking the code, right? What if the rules no longer applied? What if somebody gave you a lantern that you could rub and a little genie came out and you got three wishes? What would you be wishing for? What are those kinds of results that are beyond the things that you think maybe you can achieve or are reasonable to achieve, but the things you really want? And so my my hope for people is to give yourself the gift of that time to think about it and then to know that you can absolutely achieve those things. And I would be happy to help you in that if that's would be useful.
I love it. I love it. Well, I have been having such a delightful conversation with Rusty Gaylord. He is the author of Breaking the Code, Stop Looking for Answers and Start Enjoying Life. And I want to keep adding those taglines on there because that is so important. I am Deb Creer. And until next time, everyone have a great day.
Tune in for our next program for even more trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. The Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer, is proud to be part of the C-Suite Network. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.